Hello, you're listening to 42 Minutes, a production of SyncBook Radio and thesyncbook.com. This is a weekly conversation with the interesting artists and today I think we should say philosophers of our day. I am William Morgan, and today on the 111th episode of 42 Minutes, we're going to log on to the IndraNet to explore the idea that everything is a remix.
Because tat tvam asi, or thou art that. Good morning, Douglas Bowles here, and today on this 19th day of November, we'll consider universal feedback and reality with our guest, Jennifer Palmer, writer, producer, and social media strategist who goes by the name True on the IndraNet. We first met her when she was a guest of the program way back in March of 2012 for episode number 23 to discuss her chapter in the Sync book, and this was not long after I had met her personally at the Sync in the City event in New York City earlier that year. Ms. Palmer worked as general manager of Evolver and Reality Sandwich through the fall of 2012, at which time she left and co-founded SyncCast, details of which can be found at synccast.net.
Actually, and recently, you've actually been working on an upcoming feature film about synchronicity called This Is Art.
Time is art.
Excuse me.
Yeah, no, that's right. It's actually we just released a tiny teaser for it, so we're super psyched. And that's the syncmovie.com, so that's a whole other thing in this ever layering world of sync.
And in the little teaser, I see you're walking a labyrinth, and it looks to me like that's the labyrinth outside of Grace Cathedral. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yes. We went to San Francisco to do some shooting, and you know, we hadn't even planned. Well, we had thought about doing it there, but we were originally thinking about doing something inside, but of course that's not really allowed. And then there was the outside labyrinth, and it was perfect. So.
And did you walk the labyrinth inside?
No, I didn't, actually, because of, there was just a lot of people lining up to do it.
Yeah.
So we were kind of on a tight schedule as the shoestring budget of our production allowed for. So it was more of just get in there, do that, and which I loved because I was outside on a beautiful day and it was nice doing that. But I would like to go back and do the inside labyrinth.
And so this project, you're both the writer and the narrator of this film, and it's about your journey of awakening. Tell us, I mean, what's the timeline? When are we going to see this? And you know, what is... Give us some nuts and bolts of this thing, if you can.
Sure, yeah. Well, it's a really interesting project because first I came on, I met Katie and Joelle, the couple who are the actual filmmakers behind it, and they were already starting down the path of wanting to do a documentary about synchronicity. So they had already discovered it in their own lives, and as you guys know for yourselves, they just started... It started amplifying more and more as they examined it and tried to get a hold of it and realized this would make a great movie. And so they started down that path, and they were already interviewing and reaching out to people from the Sync book primarily. So that project continues, which is something really exciting because I would love to get input from even more folks, including the two of you. And it was just this idea of like getting people talking about synchronicity, and the Sync book folks would make up one piece of it, and the other piece would be healers and artists. So it would be this kind of collective voice about synchronicity and just getting different perspectives instead of just trying to define it very rigidly, which I really enjoyed. And so I was interviewed for it. And then when we connected, we realized that maybe we could actually work closer together, and I could work more intensely on the film and become a part of it as somebody who is helping frame all of these discussions and maybe making them a little less talking head like documentary style where people are just having an interview. And we started to play around with the idea instead of opening it up more to showing the experience of synchronicity using film and using actually filming maybe an artist making their art and then connecting the synchronicities that arise from the making of the film in the film, so letting sync guide the film as well. And that became a challenge / opportunity, as I always like to say, but it became something that we realized this is what the direction we can take it in. So it changed and has been changing and is still evolving, but what we have now is a small cut, like a short cut that's about 30 minutes that we're going to use to, and it kind of touches upon all the different themes and has some interviews and some other segments. And again, is trying to be really evocative and hopefully creating the possibility for people to have synchronicities through even the shorter cut. But the idea is that that will then go into maybe some festivals and some short doc stuff and get us some other funding. And certainly, you know, just raise the profile so that we can take it to the next level. Because it's a really, you know, it's a high production value, you know, film. So which is really cool to be on. They're making it look really gorgeous. So that's exciting for me.
So it's, I mean, for this initial release is in the post production phases then?
Yes, the initial release is pretty much there, and then it's just a matter of how that's going to be released, like what, you know, when, where we're going to put that exactly and figuring that part out. But that's very close, and then we hope to just jump into doing the rest of it. We already have a lot of footage, just a matter of, you know, getting some more cash, hopefully, and
sure.
And you know, just to keep it at that level. But it's already amazing. We talked to some cool people. Jim Sanders was in town last week, so we got him. We have Justin Morgan from the Sync Book. We have Peg from the Sync Book, and so yeah, it's just like starting to build off of that and realize like we can get, you know, we can just take this a lot further and also do like a web series off of it. So yeah, it's really cool. It's still an evolution, but it's a fun thing to do. And I'm not really ever like somebody who's considered themselves an actor or whatever. And when I just first thought about it, I was like, oh, I'll be in this little interview and then maybe I'll help them with some of the writing. But then it's like they're kind of using me a little bit as a way to move the story along. And it's kind of narrating some of my, you know, actual experiences, which is like really cool, but also wild to be, you know, doing that because you just feel super self-conscious being on the camera. But it's liberating too because you're hopefully just putting it out there and then it becomes something else. So
yeah. So in a way, your story becomes our story somehow.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, I don't know about that because I don't want to imagine or, you know, I think it's just my story already is so similar to so many people's story. Like it's already, like when I talk to folks, it's basically the same story over and over and over again, you know, where you have this awakening moment somehow, which is usually something that you didn't plan on happening, whether it's something amazing like falling in love or, you know, getting this whole new opportunity where you move to a new place and life is different and you're challenged, or it's something in my case that's not so, you know, stereotypically or, you know, understood to be a good thing, such as, you know, a loved one dying in front of me. And that changed my viewpoint, like as it happened, that in such a way that I couldn't even articulate yet. But it's these kind of experiences that I think start the story for so many people, you know, and whether they then feel like they're losing their mind or they're finding a spirituality or they're unveiling a conspiracy, the kind of journey from that point is similar as well. There's like these connections being made and then some kind of usually anxiety kind of at the boundary loss that you're experiencing as synchronicity kicks in. So that to me is part of just a lot of stories. So it's, yeah, again, it's using me to kind of, you know, not be so literal with my story. Like there's parts that are, it's more like inspired by, so that it holds that larger container, hopefully.
Well, fun. We look forward
yeah.
to that.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm getting this theme, feedback.
Hopefully you're not getting feedback at this point.
No.
getting feedback.
Well, no, I mean, in your piece in exploring the edge realms of consciousness, you talked about feedback, and it seems like the whole movie theme too is like themed towards this, like pointing the camera back at Sync or pointing Sync back at itself. It's like this feedback loop.
Yes, exactly. It's exactly like a feedback loop. So it's, you know, it gets just like a feedback loop. It gets louder and louder. You know, each act of telling a story about Sync is in some way transmitting that story that then other people can sync off of it, or at least be open to the possibility of Sync.
Well, so maybe how about we start for our listeners? Who is Naseem Haramine? Is that
Haramine? Yeah, he's kind of much derided physicist who is like a quantum physicist of kind of the next level, where he's trying to answer the question of what was before. Like, he's not satisfied with the conventional physics answer of the Big Bang and how everything came to be. So he's looking at a more primordial beginning where there was a vacuum. It's like kind of being and nothingness. And he looks to that everything shares this essential vacuum as some part of its structure, whether it's a atom or a cell or, you know, human life, you know, and he goes through all of this about, like, you know, kind of nothingness and being, and it's a way of basically proving that the universe's complete connection. So it's, you know, it's a theory of everything essentially that he's putting out there as a way of solving that problem. And a lot of people think it's just too neat and too weird. Like, he's got a ton of math and it's like connected to things like fractals and synchronicity and, you know, very religious and spiritual themes plus quantum physics. And a lot of people are, you know, intuitively you feel he's definitely onto something. And that's where I am. I'm like not a scientist, you know. And I think what's interesting is that when I headed down that path and he was another opening towards thinking about these things and experiencing them and kind of meditating on the possible oneness of the universe, which is an amazing thing to start meditating upon no matter how you get there, I still think I was being guided by this idea, like, this could be science and that makes it real, you know, that puts the stamp of reality and truth onto it. And now it's interesting because since writing that, I still dig his ideas and really enjoy them, but I'm less concerned about the science, I guess, because I've kind of moved to this viewpoint that science at this point is a little bit behind, or a little bit at least kind of in this strange place when it, you know, has anything to do with consciousness and oneness and, you know, quantum reality. So even though we've had these breakthroughs in quantum physics, like, over almost 100 years ago now that they started happening, and, you know, Einstein and other people, we're still like so far from accepting it. It's kind of like the Copernican revolution took hundreds and hundreds of years for people to realize and really accept that was the way it is. So I think we're still at this catching up point, and I just try not to get too hung up on it because it can become a real hang up, you know, where you go down endless arguments, and I'm not a scientist, so I can't, judge. But I feel like, just to go back to him and his work, it's so, like, he gives these great, Nassim gives these great presentations, and I write about that, seeing and experiencing one of them. And it's just, again, this intuitive feeling of, like, yeah, there's a reason why a nerve and our nervous system looks like the universe, like the stars connected in the galaxies when we take these Hubble photographs, or like there's a reason why the internet looks like that too. There's, you know, these things have, you know, a similarity, not just at a coincidence for me, I think. So that definitely resonates with me.
I was kind of tickled when I was reading this piece. It's called Universal Feedback and Reality is a Remix, and it's an Evolver edition, which is an imprint of North Atlantic Books, exploring the edge realms of consciousness. But I've been watching this show Once Upon a Time, and, you know, in that world, the magic was gone, and that reminds me of our own world where science has kind of sucked the magic out of our life. But Sync is kind of reminding us that it's not really gone. It's our perception that's changed.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But the interesting thing that you're doing now is this Sync cast. Could you?
I know, another Sync. And that wasn't meant to be, you know, all these things were not meant to be called that, but it just, for some one reason or another, worked out that way, which I guess is just hitting me over the head with it.
You're such a Sync head.
I know, it's out of control. Get me help.
It's weird because, I mean, it's funny watching people who are unfamiliar with what we're talking about react to the way people use the word Sync.
Yeah. It's kind of funny.
But I love the word because you can concretize it and say we're getting into sync.
It means anything.
Well, it's like Smurf.
Yeah, it's exactly right.
I'm Sinky Smurf.
Sinky Smurf. I love
you
it.
You nailed it. That's perfect. I mean, the syncstreams.tumblr.com too, though.
Yeah, and that's another one. That's like so, like, why? Yeah, I guess, and that's now kind of started getting incorporated with the film a little bit. But it's just playing, you know, all of it's just playing. And I think Syncast came about, again, it had a different name for a while. And then we realized that this name actually did work, weirdly enough, despite my resistance. And now I've embraced it. But it's not, you know, primarily about synchronicity. It's just a service company syncing people up using webinar technology.
Exactly.
So it's supposed to actually just lay that out, whether you've heard of the, you know, synchronicity as an other kind of concept or not, like a scientific or magical concept, but just that, you know, hey, I've got this great content and I want to put it out on the web, and we're helping people do that. But it's funny because one of our shows is about synchronicity, so that's a whole other thing. But we do stuff kind of behind the scenes for other companies, so we're like the resource that they go to. And then we do some of our own shows, which tend to be pretty out there because, hey, we have a chance to do our own shows. So we're doing, you know, like, you know, this eco psychology course, which is really great. So it's like this spiritual ecology, I guess what you really call it. And that's this connectedness again with nature and talking to a lot of cool people that way. And then we have, again, like an astrology show. And then this synchronicity show is also ongoing. And that's Jake Kotza is hosting that. So he's kind of nestled into this thing we've built too. So it's exciting. It's a ton of fun because it's getting to use technology in different ways, like just like you guys are using here to connect people. That's what we're doing, you know, so it's very similar.
It's a little different though than like a radio show.
Yes, but it shares some of this. It shares some of the flow of it, because what we're doing, like for Jake's show, is that it's a monthly show and it's video. It's video based, so it's basically a conversation between him and, you know, a guest or a couple of guests, and they get on and connect from wherever they're connecting, and then we connect people from all around the world who get to watch and listen. And then when they have a question, if they have a camera and a webcam and a microphone, we can just turn on their stream, and then it's like they're right there connecting and you see them as well. And you can also ask a question if you don't have a webcam, like not everybody has that or wants that, so it's like you can still be kind of anonymous and hang out, and that's cool too. So it's a great chance to just get into the conversation. Like I know Will, you were on it and it was awesome, and so it's a way to also connect. What we think is cool is, like, for someone like Jake, it's a way to connect to who he is a little bit, because you're not just reading his writing, which is amazing, or watching one of his videos, but you're actually seeing him and hearing his voice and, like, seeing the joy when he talks about synchronicity. Just kind of, you know, connects to that whole underlying part of his work, which is about joy.
It seems like the perfect format for him.
Yeah, he's totally at home in it, and he's great because he's like helping us push it forward. Like we're really figuring out, like, okay, what's the maximum size video we can sync up to like one of our shows. So like he has these little clips of, because his whole show is about, in case people haven't heard of it yet, it's just that his whole work really in life right now is like, you know, charting synchronicity in pop culture, which is a lot of what folks do who are connected through the sync book in one form or another. But he does it with a lot of his own sync videos, where he's compiling clips from other movies and showing the connections between them and between different stars. So he's been doing that a lot, and he's able to show that, like the raw materials, the images and the little clips on his show to people and play them for them. And it's great because you're like kind of inside his process a little bit.
And this show is called
The Starmy.
And then if our listeners were interested in finding this,
it's on syncast.net. If you go to our page, there's a section called web shows, and you'll see it right there on the homepage. And you can click on that Starmy page. And that has another place where you can just sign up on that page, and it's totally free. You just give your email and your name, and then we send you the link. And if you sign up, we'll also send you the links to all the recordings of the shows. So it's, you know, you can catch up if you want. You don't have to have watched one to just jump in and have fun with it. But getting on the live show is just a blast because you get to comment. We have like a chat area, and then everybody can say, hey, I have a question, and get on live. So it's cool.
And then how many episodes have you
We've done five so far.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's the sixth one's gonna be coming up. I know Jake is releasing a huge epic sync video dedicated to Jennifer Aniston, and that's gonna be in I guess December or January. So we're gonna do a show, probably December. We're gonna do a show right after he launches.
So
you,
it's a friend episode for sure.
It's the friendship.
The friendship.
Yeah, that's it's right. gonna be. Jake will create the show really, but it's really about the friends and Jennifer Aniston.
I'm losing my mind right now. You guys, I'm sorry, but like my best friend is like texting me while we're having this conversation, telling me that he wants to end his friendship with me, and it's just fucking with my head because I can't concentrate.
But we're talking about friends, and that's like,
exactly.
The sinking friendship.
We're sinking with friends.
Part of what the internet gives us is an expanded idea of friendship. You know, like it's like friends can be people who share very specific interests that they discovered together online and wouldn't have found otherwise unless you were just like walking around down a highway with like a t-shirt on of like a certain band or movie and people were like, hey, I like that movie. You know, the internet like allows you to find people and, you know, we even use that tagline. You mentioned Evolver. Evolver had, you know, and still does like a find the others tagline because the internet is great for that. And you're no longer beholden to old views of friendship as somebody who lives by you or it's somebody who you went to school with. I mean, those can be your friends too, but you can expand out. And for me, the internet has made me realize that even if I'm only connected to somebody for a little while, because people also come and go a little bit easier on the internet, that's okay. It's like this, I love the metaphor of the eddying, you know, sink eddies and the flow, because that's what I feel like the internet teaches you, that you know, not to get too attached and cling to some friendship that is not really there anymore, or just because it's out of habit. You know, you're friends with people as they serve you, and then you wish them well, and I mean, serve you for that time, and you serve each other, and you're there for a reason. And then if that reason goes away or things change, it can be all good. You know, you're just not maybe in each other's view all the time, but you already weren't because you were more like internet friends. So it's not a big deal. You know, you're kind of flow with it. And I think that can teach us a lot about quote unquote real life friendships. And, you know, it's interesting because a lot of my friendships cross the line, you know, because I know people either first online and then I know them in real life or vice versa. And I've just learned a lot about friendship through the digital aspect. And I think, you know, it's teaching us that we're friends with more people maybe than we realize, because we don't have to be so exacting about a friend is someone who always calls me back and always does this. And we don't put those expectations as much with people on the internet. And some people think that's really bad. They're like, oh, we're losing the integrity of our relationships. But I think we're just expanding the possibilities of what we can be like with people. And I think that's a really cool thing, because not everybody has exceeded, you know, like they're not champions of friendships, you know, like people are not so good with the whole social, like in person thing. You know?
Oh, you're talking about me now.
Well, no, the exciting thing about this community to me, though, is that it started out, here's this disparate group of people who speak the same language, but don't really know, you know, like they
it's
need.
It's funny. I heard somebody say something like Facebook is for family members who you're not really friends with, and Twitter is for friends who should really be family.
Mm. That's pretty good. I like that.
I had to think about it to get it right, but yeah, something like that.
It seems like the underlying drive, not only finding one another, but then making those relationships embodied on some level. So here's a question. How many times have you traveled to Winnipeg?
I've traveled to Winnipeg 3 times now. So that's 3 times since I really
Oh, that's a good question, because last time we talked to you, I don't think that you had done ayahuasca yet, but you have by now, right?
I have by now, yeah. Plenty.
You traveled to Peru.
Well, I did. I went to Peru with Jim and his crew, and you know, I've been fully absorbed into the crazy wonderfulness of Winnipeg. You know, I feel like that's where part of my heart is now. It's wild. I'm very, very close to a lot of people. They have such a great little community. Not, I shouldn't even say little, because it's not that little, but they have a community there that's just bubbling with so much stuff going on. And I've actually brought Jim several times over here to the New York area to do, even recently, to do ceremony. We've started down this path of him bringing that here. So it's like a whole other collaboration that's kind of powering some of the other collaborations at this point, because it's just the nature of what it is.
And specifically, I want to ask a really... this is me being curious, but when he was in New York most recently, which is just a couple of weeks ago, he previewed some kind of trailer for some film. Could you talk a little bit about that, or is that a secret?
No, that's not a secret at all. No, he's doing a film called Tonkari, which is the word in Ashkenazic language, which is his teacher Juan Flores's language. It means hummingbird. And the movie is going to be, it's actually going to be more of a series of shorts, I think, that he's going to do now, but I'm not totally sure. But he's got an amazing amount of footage and kind of just, you know, formulating it. But he has also a lot of film done. And it's the story of Juan and his connection to Jim and the community in Winnipeg, because he's brought Juan to the community there in Winnipeg and in Manitoba, the province that Winnipeg is in, which has a lot of sacred sites for Indigenous people there. He's brought him to those sites and connected him with all of those folks and the community in the city, too. So it's just been this kind of wild pollination going on, like back and forth, like with him and Juan, and now me bringing him back and forth here. It's like, it feels plant-like, and it feels sink-like, because it's again this organic connectedness that is like coming up, and it's very strong, and it almost seems to have a power of its own, you know, that you're kind of tapping into. I've been to Winnipeg 3 times. That was the original question, I think.
we got off on this notion of friendship.
Yeah.
And so at some point in time, there was a lot of talk about the diminishment of friendship because of the internet. But then it seems like as a movement, you know, what we're doing is bringing meaning to seemingly superficial things.
Absolutely. I mean, you mean on the internet or just in
general?
Just
in general.
Yeah. I mean, that's so much of what I think we're doing. Like, we're either calling awareness to something or reactivating forms, you know, in a way, like, you know, using Doug, I know you do this with your fiction, but using that, for instance, as a way of getting it out there. It's just about getting the story of what's happening out in so many different forms. And I think that just creates so many different connection points for so many new and interesting streams of people to come in, just like new and interesting streams on your social media. And that's not to flatten people and streams out to be the same thing, but in some way, you know, we're just sharing information and sharing, you know, sharing ideas. So it doesn't have to be so serious either, which is nice, you know. Yet it is very serious, because it's friendship, and you feel like love and connection with people. So there's a playfulness I like about it.
I love the technology in the Sync Cast. The interactiveness. I mean, you could have like full movie viewings where you could get like sync heads together and just watch a straight movie, and there's like almost a commentary. But then you could like rewind the track and discover things as you go.
Yep.
It's like
Jake
and Jim had that idea one time about like this parlor, this just interactive like sync parlor. But that's like the beginning of it right there. Sync Cast would be.
It kind of feels that way, and I think they have like a huge vision, you know, where not only are they going to be doing parlors for people who are like sync heads, but that the stars that all of you create movies about will be at them, you know, and that they'll be hanging out with you guys. And that I think is what they see as part of the next level too, is that it's almost going to be that co-creation is going to just be realized by even the people who make movies are going to be more conscious of the fact that their movie being watched is part of the creation of that movie, you know, that it never ends, and that when people go into the theater, they're actively still making that movie. It doesn't get finished ever, you know? So I think that's a neat thing that's going to like take some of the pressure off some of the stars too, and they can just be like, hey, cool, like we're all kind of having fun with this too, and
interaction.
It's also, yeah, and it's
but it's like I know I saw Pinchbeck with Brand, and Brand's a big name right now, mm-hmm. but I know there's some weird junk going on with Brand already, and to see him on like a Syncast, and I know this is cheesy, like I'm trying to advertise or something, but to see Brand on a Syncast with the interaction with whoever was studying him or whatever, that would just be intense.
That would be, yeah. That could be really, I mean, it would be something where I think he would do great at it, because he's, I mean, I've actually met him a couple times, and he's a very smart guy, you know, and he's super charming, and he's very, he's actually, I think, legitimately really into everything he's talking about, you know. Maybe he's having fun with some of it at certain points. I mean, certainly he's having fun with it. But I think, you know, agree or not, and whatever like is coming through, and he's the, you know, he lays his demons out too, you know, like he's pretty clear about a lot of stuff, but at the same time he's also struggling, you know, like many people, like to make sense of what's happening, because it doesn't make sense, so it doesn't, you know, but I think he's a great speaker, you know, so it's like he would have fun with it, I'm sure.
I've often thought about doing events where you would have Jake talking to a whole room of people through the Syncast. Like one whole room could be, so you could have like a whole seminar set up. Like if there was an event, say there was a Sync event in a different city, like the one that just happened in the Bay Area or something
yes.
like that.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. Yeah.
And so you would have the interaction of a sync cast where you're showing film, like, because I've always envisioned like a person who, like a TED talk where you have mm-hmm. slides going behind a person to a room full of people. I think that would be really cool to present sync in that way. But you could do that with the sync cast.
Yes. And I think that I would love to partner with anybody out there in the sync community who wants to put on an event. And, you know, it doesn't have to be huge. It just has to be, it can be like a bunch of people having drinks in your basement or whatever. As long as there's a strong internet connection and we can schedule it together, because we're pretty flexible. Like it's about, you know, Jake's schedule, obviously. But, you know, if that's going to be one of the considerations, I'm sure we can find a date that works and then do exactly that, or do it with multiple locations. Because as long as you have, you know, you don't even have to have a huge screen to project it on or anything. Even if you have like some big monitor, you know, people can gather and watch it and then can jump up and ask a question, or you can chat the question. But it would have that. It's awesome. We've done things like that using the technology. We've connected to rooms full of people. We did that actually just recently with people from around the world for a art event. And we had artists connecting. And it's great. You know, again, it's like people write the response to this. It's not something you expect, really. It's like almost we come at it again thinking technology has to be this cold thing that is makes people less human. But in a way, like you're connecting with people right in their living room or their bedroom or whatever as they're on their laptop, and you feel this interesting intimacy that comes right through. And then, I mean, people write us back all the time. Like, I can't believe that. I was like crying afterwards. Like I got to like ask this question, or I just felt everybody's connectedness and everybody was on this, like talking about this subject that I have no one else to talk to about, like, you know, in real life. Like there's nobody in my area that I can say, hey, I'm interested in, you know, this subject matter. I'm interested in synchronicity, and it's like I'm appearing in my life, and you know, they're going to say they're crazy, like, you know, but actually it's more and more people in general are opening up to synchronicity. That's like a whole other story, but just having these outlets for people to connect, it's a very cool thing.
Well, tell us a little bit more about some of the other programs. I'm seeing that you have, it looks like, about 5 programs under the web shows. Are these all regular programs?
Yeah, some of them are regular. One just finished, but we're going to be doing another. We're going to be doing another episode with Howard Falco, who is a speaker and author. But our ongoing ones right now are the spiritual ecology one, which is exploring the soul of nature, and that's hosted by Joanna Harcourt Smith, who is kind of a counterculture figure from the 60s, and her co-host is Richard Doyle, who's a professor at Penn State, and he's a literature and philosophy professor. professor and author, and he's actually also, and this is very cool, he's going to be doing a separate course with us, which we're about to announce. We're actually going to be announcing several new courses in the next couple of days, but he's going to be doing one with us, and this is like a little preview of it. He's going to be doing a Philip K. Dick course online using our technology that is free. It's going to be free. It's going to be done through Penn State University, so we're going to have super, like, awesome guests. Yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be a six-week course. Richard Doyle has almost exclusive, well, it's not exclusive because some of it's been made public domain, but the entire exegesis of Philip K. Dick. So he's going to be allowing, you know, access to that. And it's just going to be amazing. We're building out this just super experience. And again, that's me using this technology where you can connect with everybody live.
Let's start a religion. Holy crap.
So yeah, that's coming up, and I mean, we're actually ready to announce that. So once that goes through, everybody should sign up and be a part of it, because he's amazing, and he's been giving this course at Penn State in real life, you know, for years, but he's been building it now with the exegesis. So he's just an awesome guy. He's amazing. So that's another one that's coming up soon. But then we also have. We have an astrology course that's ongoing. I mean, course, a show that's ongoing, and that's with Eric Myers, and he's a transpersonal astrologer. So it's basically astrology taking consciousness into part, and it's like saying that, you know, just exploring. And I'm not well versed on astrology. I think it's very interesting, and it comes up and things, and I think it's a part of our mythology and affects things for that reason. But he's actually just kind of blown me away on some of these shows. For instance, like, he did the birth chart of the United States and showed that, like, basically you could say that, like, right around this time it was predicting, although he's not so much into, like, predictive astrology, because that's a whole other thing, but you could see from the alignments that this was going to be a chaotic time for this country. And I mean, other people have predicted that through other means, including the Mayan calendar. But I think it's actually just an amazing thing. We have a clip of it on YouTube where he's like showing that right around the time of the government shutdown, there's like this major, like all these like Saturn and Neptune or whatever in these like crazy places on the birth chart that were pointing to this. So it's pretty fascinating. So that's another show. And then we have the synchronicity show, the Starmie. And as I mentioned, that's Jake Kotza. And then we also have a show which is about to have another episode again soon. It kind of took a little break, but that's with the Light Cellar out in Calgary. And that's a collaboration. They're doing a show there with different nutritionists and herbalists and people who are looking to like help you create plant elixirs and different tinctures and just different. It's basically easy upgrades for your life, like kind of like a renaissance guide to like just feeling awesome all the time, like no matter what your situation is, and like, you know, smoothies you can make and like exercises you can do and teas you can drink. And, you know, so that's like just a real practical come together, share information thing. So that's some of what we're doing right now. And like I said, it's more stuff coming out. We're going to have a course on Jung as well. So that's going to be super hot. And yeah, it's good times.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's 42 minutes. Thanks, Jin.
Cool.
Jinbo with Jin. You've been listening to Jennifer Palmer on 42 Minutes, production of SyncBook Radio and thesyncbook.com. Check out SyncCast at synccast.net, and Time Is Art at thesyncmovie.com. For more information about The Sync Book, our guest, to check out past shows, or to subscribe to the podcast via iTunes, please be sure and visit our website at 42minutes.com. If you like what you hear and would like to support the show, become a donor. Just follow the links on the website to the donate page. Thank you, and enjoy the remaining 42 days of 2013. I think it's so awesome. That's show 23 and show 111.
I love it.